Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Welcome to Reins and Edge. This week, GOP presidential candidates debate without Donald Trump. These same debaters say America is in decline, but what are the numbers? Wagner mercenary chief presumed dead in a plane crash. Tech billionaires want to live forever. And that DNA information you gave to the genealogy site and opted out of sharing? Law enforcement probably looking at it right now. I'm Henry Reins.
I'm Mark Edge.
And this is Reins and Edge. Mark, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. It's another great week. I'm curious about this Republican debate. I read the news on it, but I can't say I watched it.
Well, I did not watch all 3 hours of it, but I watched the three-minute highlight clip completely. I did do that.
The whole thing.
Because we are the eyes and the ears of the people who don't want to be the eyes and the ears.
Right.
Or their eyes and their ears have better things to look at and listen to than a stage full of middle-aged Republican presidential narcissistic candidates or Democratic narcissistic candidates, because that's pretty much the only ones that will put their family through what it takes to run for president in these United States of America.
Yeah, you know, I've often said, and I still, I'm sticking with it, is that the people who are able to win our presidential election are not the kind of people that we want to win our presidential election. It takes a lot, and it really takes something out of your family, and it takes something just soulless to be able to stand up there and deal with all the heckling and all that stuff.
I like that word. Soulless.
That was the word, strangely, that I came up with while sitting there eating a rubber chicken dinner, listening to the senior senator from Delaware back at the Air America event that then later became President Joe Biden. I just thought, man, this guy can take the ridicule of an entire room of Republican talk show hosts, stand there and act like he expects applause, and then go shake hands at the door. I mean, wow. Like, the normal person could not handle that level of rejection.
You know, it's interesting that you phrased it that way, about expecting applause. And I would probably be sorry for telling this anecdote, but you know my daughter Janet, who's theater major, started a theater company here in Florida, locally, community theater, but professional theater. And she long has had that performance bug. And probably from when I used to change her diapers on the wrestling ring, when I would bring her to work, not to work out in the wrestling ring, but to, because I needed to have her with me because her mom was doing something when I went to the wrestling ring to practice.
Somebody's got to watch her.
Yes, well, and she watched a lot, and I think that's probably when she first got her taste of performance art. And then I think she was about 3 years old when I took her to see, as you know, her mother, Susan, who is a professional singer in churches for the last 30 years or so.
Yeah, like choral and stuff.
Talent show. And I, of course, had 3-year-old Janet next to me to watch the talent show. She wouldn't go to the formal church service. She would be in the children's area. But she was with me for the talent show. And after her mom performed, she leaned over to me and said, "When is my turn?" And then, but what you were saying, fast forward to second grade, and she came home one day and said, "Yes, the teacher had me sing in front of the class." And I said, "Well, how did that come about?" And I guess she was singing in class, and I don't think it was an act of charity or generosity by the teacher that's caused her to say, Janet, would you like to come up and sing in front of the whole class?
You bet.
Yes. The teacher probably thought that was a way of shutting down and crushing any ambitions of a creative person in her class, but not Janet. She said, of course. And I said, well, how did that go? This is after she got home from school. So how did that go, Janet? She goes, I thought there would be more applause.
Well, I love that. I'm going to call that obtuse at best. Perhaps. I don't know. I wasn't there. Maybe the teacher was trying to foster behavior, but it sure sounds like you have a better picture.
Let's give her the... If she's still even... that teacher is still even with us 25 years later. Let's hope that...
That's one nice thing about the victories over petty teachers is that she'll always outlive them. I think... I don't know how many students have managed to have that comeback, but, if I was ever embarrassed, thinking back on any instance that I was embarrassed by a teacher, I could have come back with, well, at least I'll outlive you.
Yes. And if you don't, then I guess she has the last laugh, or he has the last laugh. Anyway, there was plenty of applause at the GOP debate.
Yeah.
To the point that I think the hosts of the debate on Fox News, by the way, had a little bit of struggle to control the crowd. They were quite strident, both in their approval and disapproval of the different candidates. So, first of all, let's run down the lineup and see if I can remember everyone that was on that stage. Let's start with your boy, Vivek Ramaswamy.
And why is he mine?
A live listener. Yes, he is. He's a fan of you and Ian and the whole crew up there. I know he's not a fan of me because I was not associated with Free Talk Live in any formal sense whatsoever. Not that this is all that formal. We had Mike Pence and Chris Christie, former South Carolina governor and UN ambassador Nikki Haley. And then we had...
Have you mentioned DeSantis at this point?
We had our Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. Yeah. We had... Now, this was something that I had forgotten. I knew that he was a former Arkansas governor. I didn't know he was former Drug Enforcement Administration head, but he reminded me quite a few times when he was on that stage. Even in the short hour that I listened to, Asa Hutchinson. We had, I'm starting to struggle. I know we had North Dakota governor. What?
Nikki Haley.
I said Nikki Haley.
Okay, sorry.
South Carolina governor, UN ambassador. Who is that? It sounds like sour gum. It's Gorgon. Oh, Tim Scott, the current South Carolina governor, was there, and the quite diverse for a Republican gathering. We had a black male and a white Indian descent female.
Doug Burgum.
Pardon me.
Doug Burgum.
So it sort of sounds like sour gum.
Yeah.
For someone in my age, and you got
to use association to get through this.
Yes. So. My, we'll get into some of the actual positions, but what's more important is to handicap the people and say who won and who lost, which is what pundits do, what opinionated people that opine on the radio would do. And I'll start with something maybe you will contest with me, or maybe not.
Okay.
I was surprised at what an empty suit Ramaswamy was. I was expecting a lot of, because he's done very well for where he started in the polls, and he's got this surge going into the debate, if single-digit surges are considered surges. And he knew the applause lines. He knew what would get an applause. and he had so little substance behind any of it. I'll save that examples unless you want to just respond to my first impression.
Well, you know, the little bit that I watched, I'm not rooting for any of these people with, you know, trying to put the military at the border and previously advocating for, right.
Based on Ron DeSantis.
Military incursions into Mexico. I just think that this, I can't stop. I have to step down and talk about that first. This is such a breathtakingly bad idea. I mean, you have to be, you know, a warmonger of the highest sort to advocate for the idea of sending the military across the border. Now, just remember, these people are signaling.
What are we going to do to those Canadians, Mark?
The Canadians can keep whatever they've got going on there. I do not want to take any territory and thus any citizenry from the Red Horde to our north. But as far as Mexico goes, I think that it's a it's just a bad idea. If you essentially what's going on in Mexico right now is a revolution. Now, nobody wants to look at it that way because the United States has some complicity because of its drug consumption in the war on drugs that is causing the cartels to, you know, take over there. But this is essentially a group of armed individuals that are offering goods and that are offering services to individuals in their area. And apparently the Mexican government has been bad enough at it for long enough that people are willing to consider.
Perhaps really good at it.
Well, the Mexican government's, these cartels are, you know, they're providing services to people and people seem to want them for whatever reason. And bringing in a predator drone, it may change some organization. Like maybe if they're in a fortified area and you drop a Hellfire missile on them, the survivors will then scatter into the community and begin living in people's homes, and then you have to kill abuelitas in order to you know continue your war. But no, it's just a bad idea. You know,
let me add a little bit more background to that because we have the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, who really has put some mileage behind this on the stump. Not on the stump speeches that he gives. He's going to kill them stone cold dead, which I thought pretty much every time you kill someone, they're stone cold dead is.
Indeed.
But,
well, you can't, yeah, a little flowery language that goes a long way in the,
Well, he's actually talked about, you said crossing the border. But what he's actually talked about is crossing the border, but he wants to use special ops, a U.S. forces special ops, to insert into the Mexican, past the border, into the Mexican country, and conduct special ops operations. Sort of like we can think back to when the special ops went into Afghanistan before we actually invaded Afghanistan. Now, technically, if you put special ops in, you have invaded. But as far as invaded as a large force of military. Now, we have special ops on Central Asia. They've done different things. They've gone into Africa. I guess technically we haven't admitted all this, but we pretty much know that there's been tactical operations around the world that the special ops have carried out. But those have usually been in a country with very much a government in crisis or very weak government. An exception might be like when they went into Pakistan for Osama bin Laden. I mean, I think the Pakistani military and the Pakistani government would say that they were a functioning government with a strong military, and that probably
anybody getting a paycheck certainly would.
Yeah, it's probably pretty active. You know, if you got nuclear weapons, you're a pretty strong military. So I would give the Pakistani military that. But Mexico has a history of being a sovereign country that we have treated as a sovereign country. Although do remember on the invasion of Iraq and early on discussing on the radio. you know, the idea, oh, we're doing this over the oil. And I had a caller call in and say, well, if we were going into Iraq for the oil, why don't we invade Mexico? And I said, well, we have invaded Mexico for the oil, which we did to protect Standard Oil down, I think it was in the Yucatan or somewhere down there. And I was around
there's still an island in the Gulf of Mexico under dispute between the United States and Mexico. Not that there's a shooting war over it or anything, but it is in dispute. And the reason it's in dispute is because if we give it, if the United States just concedes that it is Mexican, there will be, they get 150 miles outside of it or something like that for drilling rights.
So who's drilling around it now?
I don't know what to say about that other than there is an island that's in dispute between the United States and Mexico. You can do your own research. I can't even tell you the name of it.
Well, I if that's the case, Mark, I'm not going to research it.
But I would say that you just got questions. I understand
that there are oil companies that would know who could go drill there and extract the resources, and if it was worth it, they would be doing it.
I would think that they would, but I don't know whether the United States government has given those oil companies leave to do so. That would be my first question.
Well, as we were running through this, so we got hung up there a little bit on Ron DeSantis. That was one of his bigger moments. I'm sure his campaign group thinks it was a strong moment. I thought that Ron DeSantis has already fallen so far in the polls that he probably didn't hurt himself any more than he already has hurt himself leading up to the debate. I think people or the handicappers or the pundits or the media personalities were waiting to pounce on something if he came forward with it. But his bad moments weren't much worse than his bad moments in general that he has with his brain.
He had a difficult time because his notes got leaked, which the notes were so mercenary. Like, you know, he didn't write them. They were written by some debate coach. And it's just so mercenary the way that they're discussed, you know, that it makes me wonder about these debates entirely. I didn't think, it didn't change my opinion at all of DeSantis. It changed my opinion of debates because now we're just getting a performance. You know, gave the raspberries to whom and how'd that go?
Well, that's been the way since Kennedy Nixon, 1960. That's since TV has been broadcasting debates. And we've gotten it more so now that we have cable news services that are on a constant 24-hour news cycle where they actually put up with the timer one day, 23 hours to the GOP debate or the Democratic debate or whatever it is. So, all right, so moving on. Mike Pence, I thought he showed significantly more emotion than a cardboard stand-up, like he usually seems to be on the debate stage.
Poor guy. I mean, you know, this is the guy that has achieved the highest level of, you know, office in the land. And, the news media is giving him no respect. The voters don't seem to care. I'm not going to vote for him either. You know, like, it's just...
I do want to say to the audience that anyone is expecting us to get into substantive policy decisions, they're going to have to listen in the next segment of the show, because although we still have time in this segment, we're talking about the important things, our impressions, how they look, who picked their nose, who didn't pick their nose.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess that's a win for Ron DeSantis. Because he didn't wipe his nose at all when I was watching the TV show.
Well, it seems like the DeSantis and Ramaswamy were widely considered the winners of it.
Who considered them the winners?
Sitting here looking at the Washington Post taking the stance that...
Are those pundits or polls?
What do you think? Who do you think performed the best in the Republican primary debate on Wednesday among probable GOP primary and caucus voters who watched the August 23rd debate? Ramaswamy, 26%, DeSantis, 29% for winners. I think more importantly is the following the debate, who are you still considering voting for in the Republican primary? Nikki Haley had the largest jump from 29 to 46%. Ron DeSantis, a slight jump from somewhere below 67% to 67%. And Ramaswamy from 40 to 46%. Tim Scott also hits the numbers. And I just think it's worth pointing out to all the Democrats that call all the Republicans racist, Tim Scott, for all intents and purposes, appears to be black. Can't say I know much about the guy. At 43%, this is 43% of likely GOP primary to voters. These are as core as Republicans get. 43% say, yeah, they'd vote for him.
They're lying.
Because if you got nothing else, just whip out the race card.
Yes. Well, you don't want to say... You know, it's, I think I know what you're thinking. You know I think I'm going to say, so I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say because I know you will twist it. So I'm going to twist what I'm going to say first because I know how you think more than you know how I think.
And that sounds right. That sounds like politics.
That's how polling is done. I have something much more scientific. I have the Drudge Report online poll, which is 166,000 bots on this. So not too different than what you say. Who won first Republican debate? Ramaswamy, 34%. And I will go back to one of my original statements on all this, and that was that he was an empty suit, but he knew what would get the applause lines, and in this case that may have served him well. We're going to barely have a minute here. I'll get a couple of these. Nikki Haley came in second, 23. I think Nikki Haley, and I wouldn't have said this if we had gotten that far into the segment, that she outperformed what I expected of her. Because it's all about outperforming expectations.
Yeah, I think that there's agreement coming from the Washington Post on that, too. Although they are definitely saying that DeSantis by far beat the rest.
And DeSantis is in third in the Drudge Report. Poll, and Christie at 16%. Okay, so 34% Ramaswamy, 23% Haley, 18% DeSantis, 16% Christie, and then there is a drop down to 3% for Mike Pence, Tim Scott, 3%, Asia Hutchinson, 1%, and I guess they just didn't like him at all, and Burgum, 2%. We're going to get into real substance on the other side.
You want to see those guys again.
You're listening to Reins and Edge on Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Almost 700,000 customers in Michigan and Ohio are without power after severe storms hit the region. The storms charged across southern Michigan into Ohio after midnight, packing wind gusts up to 85 miles an hour, hail as big as an inch and a half. The National Weather Service says a large and extremely dangerous tornado was confirmed Thursday night near Williamston, Michigan, just east of Lansing. Former President Trump may be heading back to Atlanta soon after Thursday's surrender at the Fulton County Jail. Charlie Shaw is a local bail bondsman who handled Trump's $200,000 bail.
It was a historical experience, one that I've never experienced before and probably never will again in my life.
Record-breaking heat possible through Monday in dozens of U.S. cities. Sweltering heat that's been roasting parts of the central and southern U.S. this week will continue in parts of the south. Dave Collins, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Rains and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. And I'm Henry Rains.
I'm Mark Edge.
And we are dissecting, vivisecting, going deep to the bone on the GOP debate for the presidential candidates of the 2024 election. It was the debut show for the series. You know, there's a whole primetime series coming up of debates, and this was the season premiere. I think 12 million people were watching, which by today's standard of the death of broadcast TV and cable TV is a heck of a lot of people. No telling how much the engagement, I don't know how many likes and things like that they got on social media. But we went through the opinions of whoever took the time to answer polls or focus groups, things like that. Said Mark and I would be looking at more substance this time. So, Mark and I haven't talked about this before, but for the Republican electorate, which you know a thing or two about.
Yeah, I've run and won as a Republican three times. Not a very high office or anything, just a state-level party office. But
with the highest office you ran for?
Delegate to the state convention for the Republican Party of the state of New Hampshire.
All right. What year was that?
It was several years in a row, and it was on even numbers. I know that much. So, 2012 was probably in there, but it was three different times.
Did you ever get there?
Yeah, I won all three times.
Wow. And how was the parties? How was the partying at the party?
We had soggy sandwiches one time that I remember very clearly. Wasn't very happy about that. The mornings were basically listening to Republican politicians hoping to get a little money and monetary support from you. maybe put out some yard signs, those kind of things. The afternoon was voting on the party platform, which was really the reason I was there. I had a couple of axes to grind, and basically the party allowed one out of the three times they actually allowed a vote on the issues that I cared about. Other than that, it just got passed. It just sailed away.
Open bar or cash bar?
I don't know that there was an alcoholic beverage available.
Oh. Well, it's not the Michigan Republican Party, which I'd have to show you some of the videos from some of their gatherings, but we'll save that for another day. When we convert this show to video stream also, where we can share some of this stuff, we can show the GOP Republican women at the state convention shoving each other and knocking drinks out of each other's hands.
Oh gosh.
And that's something that's called a tease in the business, Mark. for our audience to look forward to in the weeks or months or possibly not for years to come. But we will, when we have the capability, you have my deepest intent to show that.
Mm. All right. But okay.
So pick what you think might be. I've got a buffet of issues here that I'd be happy to talk about where they fell down or stood on these issues. So what's the number one issue for the Republicans that you thought would come up in the debate?
Well, I would say that right now what you have to do is position yourself as somebody who can drag the economy out of the dumper. The Republicans are basically saying that Biden has screwed everything up. And so, you know, whoever gets in next is going to have a plan for handling that.
Right.
And I think that's the strength of DeSantis and Vivek. Right? Vivek's got the whole "I was a businessman" thing, which plays very well to the righties. And DeSantis has the experience as the chief executive officer of the third largest state in the union.
Well, they did talk about the economy. They did share this idea that Joe Biden and the Democrats are destroying the economy of the United States of America, and that they were all going to be the solution to the problem. But they seem to point out, most of them, that they had to get people jobs. That they needed to create, they would create 10 million jobs, and they had a plan for that. I'm not saying all eight of the people up there used the number 10 million, but I know Mike Pence, he had a plan for 10 million jobs, or if it wasn't a plan for the jobs, his plan for the economy would create the 10 million jobs. And I say, actual creation of jobs by a president is not all it's cracked up to be. It has a lot to do with the economic policy that comes out of Congress. It has a lot to do even more with policy of the Federal Reserve. And mostly it has to do with macroeconomic trends and what the economy is doing in general.
I think what you're saying is true. But that's the yardstick that we've been using for decades to measure presidents, like it or not. The Clinton statement is it's the economy, stupid, and I think it still holds true. I don't think it's the president's fault or to their credit, really, ultimately, but that's kind of what we do. I think that's why I pick, personally, foreign policy statements far more for whom I'm going to vote for, because that's what the president is. The president is the guy who signs bills and sends the military places. So what he says about what he's going to do with the military is far more important to me than what he does than what he talks about as far as the economy goes. And to back up my statement on that, I publicly stated on the air that if Bernie Sanders got the nomination or something, I can't remember what the criteria was, is that I'd have to vote for him, because Bernie Sanders was sufficiently anti-war for me to vote for him. And that if he had If America wanted Bernie Sanders' policies, America would vote for them regardless of what I wanted, so it didn't make a difference. But that if they didn't want his policies, they could vote in Republicans into the House or Senate or both, and then they would do whatever they did, and then Sanders would just control the military, in which case I would be happiest with that particular result.
And getting back to what you were saying sort of toward the beginning of that is that the American voter likes to be able to look at one person, the president, and
yes,
put the responsibility on the economy for him. If I'm doing well, he's a good president. If I'm doing
him
well,
up until now,
president on the economy.
Him for now, Henry.
Yes.
It's coming. There'll be a female. There'll be a her.
What are you trying to make? Or are you? Is this like a stealth endorsement of Nikki Haley?
I think that the Republicans should be first to put up a woman. Put them up. There's Ferraro. She was the vice president. I don't think there has been a nominee that has been female yet. Oh yeah, there was Clinton. I think the Republicans should have the first woman in office. I think that it's very achievable.
Yes, well, we have Kamala in the vice presidential spot right now.
Yeah,
anything could happen. She might still be the first female president.
She could. She's a heartbeat away, as they say.
Yeah.
And it's not the strongest heartbeat that I've ever seen.
Oh, you haven't watched him do push-ups lately.
Right. You're right, I haven't. Can Joe Biden do a push-up today?
I don't know. He doesn't. He isn't the type to put that up on his social media.
He ought to.
We're getting far afield from the economy here. And as you said, it's the economy.
You know, frankly, if we pick president based on how many push-ups you could do, I think we'd do a better job.
All right. Back to Mike Pence, his 10 million jobs. Back to a president can screw up the economy much easier than he can fix the economy. I think I made that point, but if I didn't, I just did. But the fact is, the American economy is doing rather well. It's inflation is a real burden on the average citizen, and especially for families with children that are trying to make ends meet. So you may say, oh, the economy is horrible because, you know, you're paying more at the grocery store. You're paying it's sort of leveled out at the gas pump. I just saw it today. They came back down, and the price of oil is back under $80 a barrel. And I could also say that, you know, with Saudi Arabia cutting back on production and some of the other attempts to limit supply, that you're not going to get much more improvement in that. But people aren't going to like this because it doesn't fit the perception either. If you figure even at gas at, say, $3.75 a gallon, and you compare it to, say, when gas was $2.50 a gallon, over a lot of the past decade and a half, gas got down under $2 for a little while, but not very long, and it would come up into the high $2 and back and forth there. When you compare that inflation, say compare it to the inflation of the cost of a Hershey's candy bar, the candy bars showed a lot more inflation over time than gas prices have. But I digress.
Yeah, gasoline, it goes up, it goes down, and people vote. And I think one of the reasons is because people vote based on what the price of gas is at this moment. And, you know, what's it feel like? Has it gone up or down in the amount of time that I'm thinking about right now? It's subjective. There's no doubt about it. I think that probably your average American voter probably asks themselves, is my dollar going very far? How far is my dollar going at the grocery store? What am I paying for sort of to live at a place, whether it's a mortgage or a rent?
You don't get unemployment unless you're the one unemployed.
It's true. However, you're more likely to be the one unemployed if you, are if there's more people unemployed. So I think unemployment matters, but, you know, and there's such thing as underemployment, too. A lot of people feel like, you know, I'm working, but, man, I'm working my butt off. Tired.
The unemployment rate is low. Our GDP is surprisingly high. We still have an active housing market, and people are buying at these mortgage rates of 7% and higher.
What about the Dow and the standard S&P 500?
That's been going sideways for a while. There's signs of, an end of the bear market, and that the interest rate increases have leveled off. We're not going to have that. There's a lot of macroeconomic stuff that we could talk about and probably drive some listeners away. But the bottom line is the economy is in good shape. People are employed. Wages I actually have a chart with some of the.
I think that people are still feeling the smart of 6 months ago when things jumped up in price.
Yeah.
And
that's 2 years, really.
It's over the course of 2 years?
Yeah, well, I mean, about 2021 is when we started to see the inflation moving up. But let's get back to the original thing that we're saying. Where do they all come down in the Republic? Nikki Haley was the main one that went outside her lane or the Republican debater lane on this. They all blamed Joe Biden for whatever the problems were that they were trying to tell the American people that we're having in the economy.
I'm glad they could agree on something.
You and I on this show, we talked about reindustrialization and industrial policy in America over the last couple of weeks. Go to your favorite podcast site, and we are on all the podcast sites, Mark. I checked before we went on. We can go to Apple Podcasts, Audible, Google Podcasts, iHeartMedia, Podomatic. You go to all of them. You'll find us. Just put in Reins and Edge, and you'll find us. And help us build up those downloads, and next thing you know, we're going to have T-shirts. you download our show, you stream it, you are going to be able to buy a reasonably priced T-shirt soon.
Good. I'm in.
I just decided to make that promise to the audience, Mark.
Well, you're certainly doing more with the show than I have done in a long time, so excellent.
Nikki Haley.
More power to you.
No one is telling the American people the truth. The truth is that Biden didn't do this to us. Our Republicans did this to us, too. That's what Nikki Haley said. She
sounds accurate.
$7.4 billion in earmarks requested by Republicans in the 2024 budget compared to the $2.8 billion asked for by Democrats.
What were the numbers again? Run them by me.
$7.4 billion in earmarks by Republicans, $2.8 billion asked for by Democrats.
This reminds me of a story about Dr. Ron Paul, who's probably the most respected politician on this show, historically. Dr. Paul would, known as Dr. No in the House, because he'd vote no on everything, he would put the earmarks in for his district, like any good politician would, and then he would vote against the budget, because at the very least he understood that his vote didn't matter. You know, like he's 435 people in here. This is unlikely to win or lose based on the vote of one person who always votes no. So, I thought that story was worth mentioning.
Yes. Well, and it does speak to the number, because if the Republicans are in control of the House, they're more likely to try and the appropriations in the House. They're more likely to stick their earmarks in there than the Democrats are able to stick there. The Democrats will have to do their thing when it goes into conference and try and get their pork and goodies put in.
Yeah.
But it won't be the Democratic congressmen and women. It will be the Democratic senators. But she also said she took aim at Trump. This is a little subtle way of going after Trump, but not going after Trump and not diminishing your vote for Trump and for these other Republican voters, for adding $8 trillion to the national debt, while also taking shots at DeSantis, Scott, and Pence for voting to raise the debt ceiling during their time in Congress, all of which is clever and cute in the way that you're framing the argument, but if we didn't raise the debt ceiling, which is a stupid mechanism anyway, in my humble opinion, or not so humble opinion, to do an appropriation and then have to do a second vote to appropriate what you already voted to appropriate. But, you know, Trump, $8 trillion, Biden, however many trillions, it just goes up and up. And it's really, you know, it's a percentage of GDP. That's what you really have to look at, because we constantly run the debt. And is the economy growing in a way that you can finance the debt and pay for it?
Well, the interesting thing is that all the money that we have is debt. It is borrowed into existence. The Federal Reserve note is a statement of debt that the United States government has against the lender of last resort, the Federal Reserve. However, I guess when I think of the debt, I think of, you know, like, what are we doing to coming generations? Because I'll say this, when we can probably say the debt started under Andrew Jackson. I think he may have paid off the debt. He at least came really close. But everything since then is this debt that sort of existed since, by and large, World War II. But, you know, there's a little bit of World War I in there, a little bit of Spanish-American War. But, you know, mostly sort of from the World War II era. And so, you know, let me ask you, there's people alive right now that voted during the time of, you know, World War II. Do I owe you anything? Like, why is it that you can borrow against me when I didn't even live to pay for your little government programs, whatever it is that you want to do? Don't you think that the people, the United States people, should be responsible for what the lizard people, the shape-shifting lizard people that they put into office, they're spending? I mean, it just seems so disingenuous that right now there are people, you know, just that have voted recently to lay debt on my 15-year-old son, who knows nothing about it, but will at some point inherit this debt. And it's just so yucky. Wouldn't you agree?
No.
No. You like the idea of your girls saddled with debt? Don't forget,
your youngest, tomorrow, I guess,
living in a foreign country that receives nothing from the United States, is still responsible for federal income tax.
You just monetize the debt. That's...
What do you mean by that?
You have a chronic inflation of 2%. So whatever you borrowed now, in 10 years from now, it's 20% less of the purchasing power of the economy. I'm a little fast and loose with that math, but
yeah,
it's
sure.
The easiest way to explain it. Whatever you borrowed now is paid for with greater, more of the economy.
I realize that this is the effectively trying to have a cogent conversation with a urine-soaked hobo with a bottle of Jack in his hands on the side of the road, because that's what the U.S. economy is like. It takes no responsibility.
A urine-soaked hobo?
Yeah. Takes no responsibility. Zero.
No, we pay our debts.
Well, you pay your credit card bill, but not the debt. The debt will never be paid. There is a battleship that has long been sunk that is not yet paid for.
Well, you can do that forever.
Well, that's the problem. That's the question.
Forever, as long as you keep making more money.
What if there was a plan? What if there was a plan? And I believe Rand Paul has introduced one that would actually pay off the debt with very little, like, when I'm talking about like 1% cuts.
Well, that would
cause like
hardship and pain for the American people. That is,
it would be terrible for a pea-soaked hobo to give up his alcohol for a decade, right? Like, it would really be bad.
It would be terrible for old people to be starving and for not to get health care. It would be horrible for kids not to have a school to go to.
I don't think the federal government's making schools. That's usually local governments.
No,
but
no,
I'm talking about
a lot of federal money in schools.
I'm talking about a 1% cut. 1% cut. is that can be done across the board. Anybody can handle a 1% cut in whatever it might be. And look, I'm willing, if you want to play the board and talk about things like that, fine. There's some things I'll cut 2% and some things I cut 0%. Fine, if you're talking about little old ladies and kids, because this is where we always go. Oh, the children! Why did the children become dependent on government money? And by the way, you're just talking about public schools. You're not talking about charter schools. You're not talking about private schools.
Charter
you're talking about all the rest
of public money.
What's that?
Charter schools are public money.
Yeah, they're a lot less public money than a government school is, though.
They offer less services.
Really? Seem like they're doing a heck of a lot better in many cases.
Well, I would beg to disagree. I'd say some would do better and a whole lot do worse. And a whole lot are scams that are ways to get your hands on the tax dollars that you are so reluctant to pay to the government.
Yeah, I don't advocate for it.
Into some scammer's hand.
I don't advocate for it, and I don't think it's a scam. I think that by and large,
no, the individuals I'm talking about that have scammed millions of dollars out of different charter school schemes that have happened. I'm not saying all charter schools. I'm just saying that there are scammers within the charter school system.
Sure, there's probably teachers that ought to be fired within the public school system, but we'll never do that.
Well, only if they crush the dreams of second graders. Go back and listen to the first half hour of the show if you're wondering what I'm talking about there. Mark, I thought we were going to get into some policy here. I guess we can try again on the next segment.
It's really hard to talk about to talk to libertarians about economic policy. They just tend to get all stuck.
Yes, I've noticed. And maybe we'll come back. We really need to talk about Ukraine because that's where some of the individuals on the stage really displayed some shallowness of thought. And that would be needs to be discussed on the other side of these messages. You're listening to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.